Take Me to the Good Times. Written by Sidereya and read by Corey Cathonia. Rated for teen and up audiences and no archive warning supply. For the fandom of Star Wars and the relationships of Ayla Secura / Arla Fett, Ayla Secura and Quinlan Vos, and Arla Fett and Jaster Muriel. Featuring the additional tags of alternate universe, role reversal, pre-relationship, and meet cute. Ayla bares her teeth behind her helmet, shifting to keep the last remnants of the Death Watch squad within view. Her charge packs running low after almost 3 hours of battle. But she's finally managed to whittle down the opposition numbers to just these last four. The rest of their cell lie strewn about, dead or dying. But no longer Ayla's concern. At her back, behind the makeshift barricade where they'd been pinned down, Quinlan's silent. Bleeding out, if she can't get them free of this mess in time to make it somewhere safe. We should never have come this far out of Mandalorian space. Not even in service to the Mandalore's needs. Treason, perhaps, but if the Mandalore can't keep Death Watch pruned back, then he should have let them take more soldiers on this wild goose chase. One more reason to consider staying out of things. To ask Quinlan to once again reconsider their allegiances, their participation in this farce of a civil war. I'll ask him once he is recovered, she vows, firing at one of the Death Watch commandos trying to inch into a better firing position. There's a faint whine overhead, a ship passing by, maybe. So long as it's not more Death Watch, Ayla doesn't care. Bystanders, or whatever, they can keep going. A figure drops from the shuttle overhead, almost before its shadow overtakes the battlefield. A figure in distinctive beige robes, their fall more of a flight than anyone without a jetpack should be able to boast. They land in the midst of the surviving Death Watch cell, and a brilliant blue blade ignites. Despite the Jedi's assistance, Ayla doesn't immediately lower her blaster or step back towards Quinlan. That's a great way to get blindsided, especially if Death Watch either outflanks a lone Jedi or kills them. Brutal calculus, perhaps, but Ayla knows it's possible to kill a Jedi. And even sloppy Death Watch recruits can get lucky, especially with numbers on their side. An opening presents itself, and she sights down her blaster, fires, just as the Jedi decapitates another. Two down, two to go. Ayla keeps her blaster level, no longer bothering to waste bolts on keeping the Death Watch at bay now that she's got backup. However unexpected, no matter what they might do in the near future once the last of the Death Watch drop. The Jedi keeps moving about, powerful swings of their lightsaber keeping the two remaining thugs at bay, even as they force the fight to stay close-ranged, in the sweet spot for their blade. Ayla can do little but watch as, in short order, they down first one and then the other, leaving the battlefield silent, save for the distant hum of contained plasma. When the Jedi turns back towards her, she gets a good look at warm brown skin, blonde hair carefully braided, and strong features set in a grin that feels uncharacteristic for what Ayla knows of Jedi. "Hey there," the Jedi calls, waving. Her lightsaber rests to the side and downward, like she knows Ayla isn't about to start shooting at her without some serious provocation. "You need some help?" The shuttle she leapt down from circles back around to land right behind her, as if on cue. Ayla stands from behind the crate she's been using for cover. She holsters her blaster in one smooth movement. Wobbles. Falls. Somehow, Arla reaches the Mandalorian before they hit the ground, catching them and lowering them gently the rest of the way. "Really hope I'm not breaking a cultural taboo," she half-jokes as she pulls off one of their gloves. Blue skin, the right shade for Ruti and Twi'lek. Or Chiss, or Chagrian, but the helmet shape makes her think the guess of Twi'lek is the right one. Arla places two fingers against their wrist, idly noting the delicacy of their fingers and the calluses that prove they don't always wear gloves when using weapons. Right, they're still alive. Arla puts their glove back on and stands up, Mandalorian in their arms. Which is about when she spots the other Mandalorian, lying a little too still, carefully tucked deeper into the makeshift barricades they were clearly using as a holdout bunker. "Jaster!" Arla hollers. It's maybe a little disrespectful towards any Jedi Master, especially towards the one who taught her, for the standards of some of the more staid and traditional Masters in the Order. But Jaster will understand her urgency when he spots the reason for it. Maybe they shouldn't be saving these two. The enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend. But Arla has a good feeling about this, and she doesn't think it's solely coming from her. The Force, at least, isn't screaming any warnings about her chosen course of events, and that's good enough for her. Besides, it looks like this one took out most of their attackers on their own after their friend dropped. It's a little bloodthirsty, maybe, but Arla finds that kind of competence incredibly, compellingly attractive. She passes Jaster on her way back to the shuttle, Mandalorian cradled in her arms. "One more non-terrorist back there," Arla tells her former teacher, jerking her head backwards. "Good thing we have two biobeds, then," Jaster says mildly, continuing on without bothering to waste another word. "Remember to not remove their helmets, I know," Arla whines. Honestly, of all the Jedi Masters to get, she ended up with the one most interested in every culture he can get his hands on, with a special love of Mandalorians, thanks to his hero worship of Master Tare Vizsla. "He's going to be insufferable while you and your friend are with us," Arla tells her unconscious burden. "Sorry about that." Although, if Jaster speaks to the other Mandalorian, maybe Arla can spar with this one. Once they've healed up, of course. She's looking forward to testing herself against someone from a culture that prizes being able to go toe-to-toe with a Jedi. When it's not a matter of life and death. The end.